When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
But I mean,
I'd rather like, talk about so, Ryan Day than this anymore.
But if we're asking that question,
yeah,
history says no, he can't be. And neither can Scoot Henderson, and neither can Jalen Green, and neither can any of these other guards around here. Like, that's not how the NBA has worked traditionally. There's been two of them, Steph Curry and Isaiah Thomas. So when you talk about a 1A. You need.
I got to cheat.
Who got?
Irvin's a point guard.
True. Irvin. Irvin, the
Magic guard. Johnson. Yeah, the point
for
guard.
For sure. That for sure.
It's cheating, but.
Yeah. But you look at how.
6'11 point guard.
You look at Steve Nash.
Yeah.
He wasn't good enough. Jason Kidd wasn't good enough to be the best player on the team and win at the point guard position.
Yeah.
So I would always say that you need. Maybe a killer or you know, somebody right next to him that could do those type of things.
Winning a championship is tough.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry, Jesse, go ahead.
So what do we do here then?
I don't know, man. I don't know. What do you do? I have no clue. I did not expect this team to be, what is it now? 12 and, what are they? 13 and 15. I did not expect this. I don't know. Now, I have no idea.
Now, this is the one thing that you do ask for, and I think is a question that can be asked of De'Aaron Fox. Is, do you think he has the intangibles to lead? That's different from his talent. Do you think De'Aaron Fox is a lead? We talk about this with coaches. Do you think De'Aaron Fox is a leader of men?
No.
That's the biggest problem.
I don't. Okay. Can I? Because, I feel like we are kicking De'Aaron in the face right now. Go ahead, Jesse. Not that he cares.
Do you think his leadership will change in any given situation, or is it always going to stay the same? Like, if the Kings need a kick in the ass, is he going to give that to him, or is he just going to be what De'Aaron, just lead by example and just lead the way he's always done?
So here's you know, I was thinking about, you know, as this trade thing becomes like a thing, could De'Aaron go to Miami, a strong organization, and be the leader that we're talking about? And I told myself no. And I thought, like, if he does, that's a fault. Because why didn't you do it here? Mm-hmm. Like, you have it. You have the ability to do it. If you do it in Miami or name it Golden State, another strong, you know, organization, why couldn't you do it here? Mm-hmm. And I mean, you've got Pat Riley influences. Maybe in Golden State, you had a Steph Curry. Like, there's ways you could, I'm sure, rationalize it. But to me, that feels like a character flaw. And I feel like De'Aaron. Whatever version of a leader De'Aaron is, it's the one that we've seen. Mm-hmm. That's it. And he does have leadership, like, he has leadership characteristics. Absolutely. But you ask, are you a leader of men? Who on this Kings roster do you think is?
I think Sabonis, DeRozan. I want to say Monk, but Monk may be a little erratic to for people to follow him that way. You know what I'm saying? But they love him. They like Monk. I think is a guy that they'll. I you know hate using these analogies, but we'll use it. They'll go to war for Monk. Like that's my dog. Like he may get us into something, but I'm fighting with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause that's my dog. You know what I mean? But I don't know if he's a leader. My first two thoughts would be DeRozan and Sabonis, and I just think Fox. Like I don't know if he doesn't have the ability or the qualities to. I think the thing with him really is I don't know how interested he is in doing that. I think that's more the thing. Like, I think he has a voice. I think he has an understanding. I think he has the things that you would need to be a leader and somebody that galvanizes and holds people accountable and all this other stuff. I just don't know how much of how interested he is in doing that.
Does this team take on his personality?
That's a great question.
Feels like it.
That is a great question, because if your answer is correct, that's a problem. It's okay for him to be the way that he is if there's someone to counteract that who can have a bigger personality. Like if you take on, well, you don't want to take on Malik's. Malik needs to be Malik,
yeah.
Right? But De'Aaron needs to be De'Aaron too. You need guys to be individuals. Maybe they are, but as to Jesse's question, it does feel like they collectively take on his personality.
And I think Domas is loud, or like I think Domas is a leader too, but I don't think he's loud. Like I'm sure in the locker room, he's probably not silent the whole time, but he's not just this whole rah-rah guy, I wouldn't assume. No, I think that competition gets that out of you on the court, but ultimately, like his personality, Domas, I don't think you're going to get that in the locker room.
Domas very much feels like a leader on the floor.
Yeah. But yeah. I feel like you do need that, though. Like, you need that leadership off the court, like in the locker room. And I'm not sure if they're getting that. On the court, yeah, you get it. We're in the middle of this, but we know going into a game, hey, we can't let up. We can't, like, we can't come out of the gates flat and all that. Like, I don't know if they're getting that.
But I would think the leadership on the floor, and this is something I don't know, maybe he has, but this is something that Domas or anybody else hasn't displayed. And the leadership on the floor is more important in the locker room in certain respects, and in this respect with the Kings, because when it is 7-2 and we haven't ran the offense, hey, no, stop, Mike, to hell with you, time out, come here guys, we're not doing this again.
Well, I'm really fearful that Mike, the hell with you, might be a thing. Like, I know what point you're trying to make. I'm really fearful that might be a thing.
It might be. But somebody, they're missing that guy on the court who is going to say, hey, let's get it together. And to be honest with you, 9 times out of 10 in a game of basketball is your point guard. Like, Domas can say, hey, let's run our stuff. But he don't even have the ball to run it. He's not even making the calls. So he can say it, but if the point guard isn't the one, it's usually the point guard. Simple as that. Like, it's your lead guard who is doing that. I mean, an example, small example, different scale, is regardless of me having a sports show, or we've talked about this all the time, sports show, talking for 7 hours a day, I don't say much. I don't really like to say much. I just sit there with my own thoughts. You know, I like to talk to myself more than I like to talk to other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But
that's a shoot.
When I play basketball, I don't shut up. I just got to talk. That's just what you got to do. It's not really what I want to do. It's not really my – it's become my thing. It's become what I do because I just like to be involved. But we have to talk. I'm going to have to talk on defense. I'm going to talk to my guys. I got to dap him up. I don't even know this guy. Hey, my dog, good job. Keep going to work. I don't know this guy. I don't know who he is, but that's just what you got to do.
Aldrin J in the chat asks, who would the leader in Boston be? And then Carlton asked the same question. Who's the leader on the Celtics? Tatum is the lead by example guy, but Brown is the guy who will talk if need be.
And it's Horford,
like there's a voice,
too, right?
Yeah, and Horford too. But like since Marcus Smart got traded, it's been the two. It's been Brown and Tatum. Like Brown will use his voice when he needs to. And I don't know if they get that from De'Aaron. Like Brown will get loud at, because you've seen the post-game clips, pre-game, like all that stuff in the locker room. Like Brown will talk. Tatum, that's not necessarily his thing, but they have a guy who can do that probably as good as Tatum too.
De'Aaron talks.
He does. He does. The more I think about this, man, it's really tough what we're asking De'Aaron to do and to be. Like it's really difficult for your point guard to lead you to a championship.
Mm-hmm.
That is, we talk about roster construction and how you build franchise. That is not typically how it goes. That guy that is leading you anywhere is usually 6'6 and above. 6'6 can play in three level score, can guard three different guys. Can, like, that's historically what the NBA has been. And we're asking this guy who's 6'3, not very like strong, not like he's weak, but you know, he's not no buff 6'3. He's a point guard. He's a regular point guard who's very fast. And we're saying lead them to the promised land. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. But once again, like I've continued to say for a number of different days, it's two different conversations. We're having a conversation about leading you to the promised land, but we're also having a conversation saying, don't be two games under 500. He can do that. The league is littered with guards who keep you above 500, who get you in the playoffs. Different conferences, different time, but hell, Kemba Walker got the Hornets to the playoffs mm-hmm. a couple times with nobody around him. Like, come on now. Let's start with that. Let's start with, hey, we shouldn't be two games under 500. I'm not saying it's all Fox's fault or anything, but that's what we're asking from all of these guys right now. You guys should be better than this right now. Should be better than this. I stand by that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Think there's an argument there. There's absolutely no argument that this team should be better than what they are. The question is, why aren't they? Why aren't they better than 13 and 15? Mm. Why now is the new thing? Why are they getting their ass kicked at home? Why is the new thing to start in such a deficit? Mm.
Does it matter if it's at home or the road, and it's just a matter if they're not a good team?
Could be that. It could vary like that. Even
when I'm on Mars, probably the
same but they're thing. Not the Wizards. Like even bad basketball teams are a little bit better at home. Mm-hmm. This team is just flat out bad.
Hmm. Mm.
I mean, Eddie Gonzalez joins us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader, Stilo and KC on ESPN 1320. All right, we're back here throwing the ashes on the Sacramento Kings season. Let's bring in our man, Eddie Gonzalez. Eddie, it's over. We had 1 year. We lit a stupid-ass purple light into the sky, and it's all ended. At the hands of the Lakers.
De'Aaron Fox talking about his contract situation rather publicly over the last week. You gotta sprinkle a little bit of contract drama on the on-court drama, like some parsley, right? Make it a little bit worse, a little more salt in the wound.
So check it out. Let's start there. You're around the league. You've been in the league, you know, for a long time. You know the ins and outs. We got Shams calling you during our hits and everything. Fox talking to Draymond Green right now. Coincidence or no? Is he trying to apply some pressure?
Sneaker just released, right? They got stuff going on, they're close enough. I know from planning podcasts, this stuff happens in advance. And, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence, but again, he could have chose to simply not say anything, right? It's not a coincidence that he spoke on what he wanted to and said what he wanted to. And I give him credit, like as a fan, I give him credit for not giving the stock answer and saying, oh, you know, I'm not talking about that in the season. Like he gave some real thoughts, and we talked before the season. It was pretty obvious what he was doing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a bigger bag waiting at the end of this rainbow as well, and didn't have to necessarily be about leaving. But now, season going how it's going, and just the camaraderie, it seems about the there's just bad energy, and then you know he's on Twitter like all of us. He's seeing Brooklyn Nets photoshops, Miami Heat photoshop. Like he's seeing all this stuff. What's Giannis doing this summer? Maybe it makes sense for me to do like track that. And what does Phoenix blow it up? And you know, where do those guys go? And you keep your options open for that reason. Now, again, beginning of the season, we all sat here and said, oh, he's just settling in and then they'll re up next summer. And cool. But it's on you as an organization and like make it worthwhile for him to be there too, right? And you know, look, the sky is falling. I know the sky falls out there every loss for NBA fans every day, but
yeah, it's on the ground. Like the sky, it's like it's you got to step over the clouds to get in here to the studio.
Couple big wins, you'd be feeling better. And the tough part, and to be the pessimist real quick, to rain on the parade a little bit, we're now in the NBA where 10 teams get in, and you're not even 11 right now. Like, yeah, I know there are only so many games back and we have a whole lot of season left, but that sucks to wake up and we're old, like wake up, open the paper, look at the standings and go,
that's Kenny
down there. Yeah. So
Kenny got to turn to page four,
shout out to the paper. Although they didn't up the price. I'm going to have to get rid of even the digital subscription. Come on, man. What y'all doing? I know y'all got to try to survive, but
wow. Why do you
gotta love Sack B fighting with the big wigs this week about Michael Vick. Gotta love
Joe
that.
D.
Yeah, well, shout out to Joe because he was right.
Yep.
Yep.
He,
hey,
He was right.
Joe been around since I was playing way back. So he know his stuff, man. You're not gonna outdo Joe in the city. Come on.
I'm pretty sure Joe been around since sports were invented in Sacramento, because I don't know who was covering him before Joe.
Covered the first pig bowl.
Yeah.
My little nephew at Laguna, Armand Thorntona, is running back out there. He got some coverage from Joe, and I'm like, dang, Joe's still out there covering the high school kid. Mm-hmm. All right, man, that's a good look. I was happy for both of them.
When you watch this team, why do you think this season has gone the way that it has so far?
It's a team that looks disconnected. I see a lot of people blaming it on DeMar and a fit with DeMar today, and you see coach last night, he's talking about effort and defense, he's talking about all kind of stuff, but it's a team that to me just looks disconnected, and that's on the defensive end, which we've talked about a ton, and opening, give up so many threes and this and the third, and even their offense, it just seems to lack flow at some times, and you could blame it on injuries, you could blame it on new guys, you could blame it on a lot, but this is a professional team with a veteran coach and a nucleus that's been here for some time. So that's not what you would expect when you watch this team. And they just – you're taking tough, close losses. You're taking ugly losses to teams you shouldn't be losing to. Like, it's a lot, and I get the frustration.
One of the discussions that we've had a lot today and since the podcast came out, and then Mike Brown's reaction, mm-hmm. maybe indirectly to the podcast and all this other stuff, is De'Aaron Fox and what he can be. Can he be a 1A – on a championship contender? And I said, Eddie, I said, probably not, but that's not a knock on De'Aaron. That's not saying who he is as a player. He's a point guard. You usually don't have point guards as 1As on championship teams. But do you think that, you know, that's fair for De'Aaron to ask that question and to look at him as being a 1A on a team that's trying to win a championship?
It's not a conversation I usually like. I know this was the Jalen Brunson convo last year, and it's a weird, like, arbitrary thing. But I do think there's some truth to it. And if you look back in the history of basketball, you know, Isaiah was the smallest guy, and maybe still is, like, the guy who led the offense of a championship team. And there's just a lot to that. There's a lot onto your body. There's a lot onto how he can defend those guys in the playoffs. And if you're smaller, it's just a little bit easier to do. It's just the nature of the game and the physics and all that. I think he's an incredible offensive force. I think, you know, what is he still top 10 in scoring right now, right? Like, he had that stretch of two games, just explosion of scoring. I would say no right now, but that's also because we haven't seen it. And that's the thing, is like, we didn't get this incredible playoff run from De'Aaron that we saw, like, from Shea last year. Shea had a great playoff run last year, and they didn't go to the conference finals, but it was like, oh, okay, it translates. We see it now. And so that's why I would say no, but I think he is that dynamic offensively to where it's the right squad. Yeah, he's going to be your ball handler. He can create all that for you. I think the playmaking is the thing for me. Not that he's a bad playmaker, but I think if you're going to be that lead guard and you're going to win 3-4 playoff series – you got to be one of the better playmakers in the league. And I think you see that year in and year out. We saw it with Luka last year. And what he didn't give you on defense, that absolute top-tier level of playmaking on offense to make guys like P.J. Walker useful in the playoff, like stuff like that, that's what I would love to see from De'Aaron. And I don't think we've seen it thus far in his career.
You are an NBA guy. You're the NBA guy. You know the Kings obviously very well, but you know, you're kind of ingrained in the league. We're ingrained in this franchise. Are we making a little too much of a team that's two games under 500?
I think so. Again, like I said, every loss, the sky's falling in the NBA. The Denver Nugget fans are doing that right now. Phoenix Suns fans are doing that right now. Golden State.
Golden State, I mean, might be doing it, yeah.
That loss is kind of worth it. I'll say that. But every loss in the NBA seems to we do this, and we can go all up and down the league. Depends on your expectation level.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on, like, if the idea is to be a playoff team, a good month and they're a playoff team. As jumbled up as the playoffs are, you know, if the goal is to get out the play-in, you're panicking a little too early. If the goal is a championship, we're very rarely going to see a championship team climb out of this hole, you know, even right before Christmas. So it depends on what your perspective is. I think the panic is a little early. They have a lot of flexibility. They can probably make some stuff happen. what I would say, and the question I would pose to you fellas is, has the organization shown they'll push the right buttons if they do have some flexibility and do make some moves? And Keegan Murray's names get mentioned every other day. And like, are they going to go make that big splash, and will it be the right splash? Do y'all feel comfortable in that?
So there are a bunch of things that we've laid out for the last couple weeks about what we don't agree with or don't understand with Monty McNair in that front office and some of the moves they did or didn't make. When you ask that question, the big move, they have hit on that. They have hit on that. Sabonis, mm-hmm. that one mm-hmm. worked. Mm-hmm. DeMar, jury's still out or whatever, but I like the move. I don't think DeMar's the problem. I think he's been as advertised, mm-hmm. and I think that's a good move. I'm going to say that, you know, personally. If they decided to make the big move, I'm going to go off their track record and say, yeah, they'll make the right move. The question is, do we get to that point? Mm-hmm. They seem to be a little slow on the draw with actually making these moves. Do we actually get to this point while they still have a chance to salvage this season? That's the question that I think a lot of people are asking.
I'm curious, going back to the summer and even going back to the last couple of trade deadlines and seeing a couple of different packages, and I know they've called on some of the bigger guys who ended up getting traded, and they're always active. They've been active since Vivek took over the team. He's been aggressive from the very beginning. I'm very curious if they were active in the Carl Anthony Towns stuff, because that seemed to come quick. To this day, we still don't know too much. You know, it was pretty straightforward swap. That's the level of guy I'm thinking, like, man, if they load up the coffers like that, and obviously he's incredible. He had a great game last night going back to Minnesota. I don't think they're landing a super duper star. I don't even think one's available at this very moment, midseason. But there's that level of, you know, maybe an all-star, something like that, that pushes this team over the top. The teams they're right behind, the Spurs, obviously, I think the Spurs are going for it as best they can. But again, they're slow walking this. They don't even have their coach in the building just yet. The Warriors, which there's no telling. There's just no telling what's going on. You have the Suns right above that, but they're just waiting to get healthy. The Lakers right above that. There's no telling with them either. So we could watch a couple of those teams tear it down, say, look, we're going to salvage this for next year, go. And then the Kings be sitting pretty, and they might be buyers where those teams are sellers. And, you know, it just depends on how aggressive they want to be. And I think they want to be aggressive.
Yeah, I think one of the frustrating things, you know, we talk about rosters and improving players. We were looking at I know this is a super extreme example that just happened on the wrong day, but you were referencing the Warriors. They were on the receiving end of that ass whooping from the Memphis Grizzlies. The Grizzlies put up 144 points, and Frank had 19 of them. Like, we're like looking at like the bench. And for the, you know, obviously they did it to a much bigger degree against Golden State. But Eddie, when the Kings played the Grizzlies, the Grizzlies bench, much like they did last night, they beat Sacramento's ass and they beat the Memphis Grizzlies starters ass. And you look at this and you go, what changed with this basketball team? Well, Ja's back and Marcus is kind of healthy. And it's like, what has really changed? And it's just Ja. And you got Frank and Luke over here on the bench scoring a ton of points, and we're over here with Hall of Fame talent and Domas having the best season of his career, De'Aaron Fox, you know, 20-something per game, top 10 scorer, and we're trying to figure out why they are 19-9 and we're two games under 500.
Man, I watched the Grizzlies, and first of all, they get after it on defense, and that's immediately what you notice with them, and they have defensive player year at center, and they have all this stuff going on, and they just have a little bit of tenacity and energy to them that you don't always see with the Kings. Now, the Kings, like, this is like a very blasé term, but they're almost like more finesse than the Grizzlies are. The Grizzlies just have a little bit of bite. And then you see guys, like, they're able to incorporate guys, and I think they got a lot out of last year where they lost a lot, but they played a lot of extra guys and really got to get guys their reps. But Ja is just that dynamic. Mm-hmm. Ja's borderline top 10 player. He's completely unguardable. Everybody knows he's going left. They don't care. He decided he's not dunking anymore. He had one of the greatest dunks of all time anyway. And like,
that was crazy.
He's a ridiculous, absurd basketball player. I'm happy he's getting the flowers back that he has been robbed itself of for some time.
That's a hell of a way of putting it.
But held himself up at gunpoint, some would say.
That's a team that's made a deep playoff run as of late. And when we talk about De'Aaron and can he be that, Ja's a great example of, like, we've seen it. We've seen it in the playoffs. We've seen it in playoff settings. We've seen him in game sevens. And he showed up. And so he's just that dynamic of player. And I hate to say it because I love De'Aaron Fox. But there's like a, you know, that's a separate tier. That's what you want De'Aaron Fox to be in the right moments. And Ja stepped up and been that. And he's been through a bunch of like self-imposed adversity, but he's gotten through it. And he's on the other side of it now. So I'm happy we're getting to see it.
I don't know, Eddie, man. I don't think Fox is on a different tier than Ja Morant. I mean, the numbers bear something out. There is an aura that Ja has that I agree with that helps with that team. But player for player, I think De'Aaron Fox is on the same tier, if not a better player than Ja Morant. But I do give credit to Taylor Jenkins. And I do give credit to that front office for building that team as a cohesive unit. You know what I mean? Like, we talk a lot here about identity with the Sacramento Kings, and sometimes I think it's a little overblown. But when you compare it to something like what Memphis has, Memphis knows what they're doing every single time they step on the floor. And all 15 guys on that roster knows exactly how they're supposed to play, or else they're not going to play, or they're not even going to have a job. And that's something that's created by the coach and the general manager having that cohesion. And Ja just takes that maybe to another level. But I think the foundation is a lot more solid and a lot more on the same page in Memphis than it is here in Sacramento. And that's where you get 19-9 and things like that.
Yeah, and it's a testament to that front office. I agree. Like, you look at the way they built that team, some of a couple of little small trades here and there, but a lot of draft picks. And a lot of draft picks from all over the place, like heralded college guys, guys from overseas, guys late in the first round, guys you feel like you're taking a risk on. Even somebody like Dylan Brooks, who they eventually let go, that was a find, you know, and they made something of that. So they've continued to put their style of player on the court with themselves. And you know, Desmond Bane gets a big contract, and Jaren Jackson gets a big contract, defense player of the year. They've hit over and over and over. And, you know, it's a testament to them. They're hanging around there. And a year like this year where it feels like the West is wide open, that's the team you're looking at. Like, do we want to go over there and play 4 basketball games at Memphis in 2 weeks? Like, that's asking a lot. And as physical as they play and as much as they work on defense, and again, and you gotta guard 12. And they're fascinating. I love watching them play.
I feel like the Clippers are in that same conversation.
Yeah, they are.
Maybe not as deep as Memphis is, but well coached, Ty Lue, and he's got a group of guys who play the way he wants them to. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe James is an exception, but James has been doing some things, and this is all without Kawhi Leonard. Yep. Maybe James is a slight exception to the way Ty Lue likes to play, but it's been working for them so far. It feels like everyone is finding a way to make things work.
Yeah, and it feels like they loaded back up on some more defensive guys this summer as well. And you know, you bring Derek Jones Jr. over there, and what's buddy's name got ejected last night? But there's a defensive identity on court that you need. You need when you have James Harden at the top of that. James still got some gas left on the tank, man, and he's able to make those guys an engine that works. And they had the versatility with Zubac to be a bigger team who's just bullying guys, and he's grown so much himself. And you get why they're sitting there going, man, if Claude comes back and he's close, mm-hmm. you know, he doesn't mm-hmm. have to be 18, 19 Kawhi, but if he's close, we can do a lot here. And very interested to see the dynamic when he does come back. I think, again, much like the Grizzlies, if the West is wide open and you got those guys and Kawhi's ready and he's healthy, and it's always that asterisk, if Kawhi's healthy, dangerous team. And they're loaded up to guard wings all over the conference. They're loaded up to guard somebody like Luka. They've had their own wars with him already. Very dangerous team out there. And you know, they got their own arena finally, and then they get their own area, because the other team out there is looking like it. I know they're 3-1 in their last 4 and all this good stuff, but it's looking bad out there. It's looking kind of bad.
Chris Dunn got ejected last night, by the way.
Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn started.
Providence's finest?
Yeah, Providence. Shout out Chris Dunn.
Quite a journey, by the way, from top five pick all the way back to the league and forging his identity. Like, credit to him. So, Chris,
shout out to him, man. I like to see that, man, because high expectations, maybe fell short of him, but didn't stop. You know, kept it, like you said, kept his journey, kept his marathon going, and here he is starting for a good team. Eddie, we talk about the Kings all the time, but you see the whole league. And what do you make of Milwaukee, man? You know, they've turned things around. Do you think it's real? They got a relative, you know, because it's still December, but they got a big game tonight. They play the Cavs, you know, and they just won the NBA Cup. Like, is it real? Are they back into Eastern Conference contender mode, or is this just, you know, a moment in time?
Did y'all enjoy the Cup? Did it feel as big, as important this year as it did last year? I don't know. I don't want to be the
I don't even think we talked about this. I didn't like the final. The Vegas thing might have run its course.
We got two blowouts in a row for the final, which kind of sucks in that sense.
Yeah, and the scores were in like the 90s.
Yeah.
too hard.
It's December in Vegas. You know, it's not like it's the hot season out there. So it's just a little awkward. Neutral site NBA game, a little awkward. Mm-hmm. But no, I think that's a team that is slowly working themselves back into it. And I had to tip my hat to Giannis. He's been, if not the best player in the league this year, one of the two, three. Like, he's been absolutely unstoppable. If you don't love watching his game, like I don't, at some point you have to tip the hat to the results. Like, in that championship game, he was just so much stronger and, like more aggressive than everybody else. And when he plays like that, when he does that to a team, it changed the game. Like, there was a whole different energy to that game. So I think they're turning it around. You know, I still think they're going to have to deal with Boston, and that's its own thing. But they're in the right conference to turn it around if they want. They should still probably be aggressive and probably will in the trade market. And I heard some noise about Jimmy Butler. I don't know if I believe that, but they'll be picking around. They'll be trying to pick up some pieces. But the thing for them is it's not exactly breaking news, and it's been mentioned quite a bit, but, like, the worst-kept secret in a while in the league is – yeah, Giannis wants to see something happen. Giannis might be available at some point in the near future if things aren't happening. And I think he finally has, like, the confidence and the cool to push that button if need be. So they're giving it a good go. I think they're finding out their fit with Dame. And, yeah, you know, when they beat a team like that, OKC, who is one of the two, three best teams in the league, kind of humbled them in front of everybody, it's good to see. I think getting Chris back, even in limited minutes, helps them, makes the offense a little more dynamic. And Doc loves those wings he's got, don't he? Like, those defensive wings he has on that team and throwing them out there and saying, look, you can shoot a couple threes, but we need you to guard everybody. And he's figured out a way to make something of that team.
De'Aaron for Giannis. We got it. Let's make it happen. De'Aaron
for Giannis. Or go get Giannis.
Well, I got to imagine that'll make De'Aaron happy.
The Photoshop I seen was De'Aaron and Giannis in Brooklyn. So,
oh wow,
good luck with that.
Well, he's De'Aaron's with Clutch, so inevitably there'll be a Laker Photoshop.
Your boy Rich, he was in the building last night.
Was it Kellerman? Who did the De'Aaron will be a? You'll be a. He said it to De'Aaron's face. You'll be a Laker in 5 years, anyways. Wasn't that Max? Kellerman. It was Max Kellerman, right? Yeah, he said it. I don't remember where this they were, but De'Aaron was on set.
Oh man, this was. Oh my goodness, this was the year the Raptors and the Warriors played in the finals.
Well, why was De'Aaron there?
Because the season was over.
Yeah, just because.
Okay. Just there.
Because I remember I was in Baltimore when that happened, and that was the game. We were watching game one of the finals. Mm. And I'm like, what? De'Aaron was on what?
Yeah.
And he was on there. He was on, like, FS1. He was on a couple of the shows.
He said, we're going to get you in a Laker uniform in 5 years or something. And De'Aaron was like, I don't remember what he said, but it got Kings fans happy.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago, though.
Did you guys argue about too many threes today or no? You let JJ Redick do it all?
You know, we haven't. It's in our notes. Like, what is going on? Like, LeBron held court about this yesterday Sacramento. JJ talked about it. Adam Silver is talking about it. Like, what are we doing?
Twitter chatter just. JJ had a great point, but that was my favorite JJ point on that long video. But, like, people elevate Twitter chatter to the point of, like law. And he's like, yo, that doesn't matter. I don't know why our commissioner is talking about it.
That's right, crazy. Right. Someone alerted Adam Silver. Hey, they're talking about this on Twitter. And God damn it. I'm going to talk about this in my conference.
For people to understand, the commissioner is only available to the media in a scrum like that setting twice a year. The finals and now the cup. NFL is once, right? Super Bowl. So you only get these 3 minutes to talk to this guy biannually. And somebody decided to go, hey, are they shooting too many threes out there?
They hit him with the look, we're having a good time. But the meme of when they told Bush about 9/11, you seen that meme? They hit Adam. They're talking about too many threes. Adam's like, too many threes. Got to talk about it. I think, you know.
I don't get it.
I understand rating. Ratings is what's really driving this right now. It's like the lack of the ratings and the decrease in ratings and all this other stuff. I don't think there's any problem with the NBA. I think it's fine. I think it's December. And the NBA Cup, while it's not perfect, it's not great or anything like that, it's got people talking about NBA games a little bit more than what they normally would. You're playing the same games except for like two. Like, sure, put some kind of stakes there. Like, it doesn't have to be the same as the NBA Finals. It just, we're a little quirk. Okay, cool.
I think a lot of threes is fine. Like, I think technically there's more dunks, too, in that aspect. That's a lot of people are saying. To me, the thing is, who's shooting the threes? Like, we'll watch Stephen Curry shoot threes all day, of course. But, like, do we want to watch P.J. Tucker shoot threes all day? Like, some of these guys that are being told to throw up shots – I watched a game a week ago with the Suns and the Jazz, and Walker Kessler started the game with two threes. He made them both, like hat tip. But it was like, yeah, that's not exactly what we're here for. But to me, it's just so much variance on a night-to-night basis. Like, you know, we end up with so many blowouts. At least it feels that way, anecdotally. I think that's the thing. And it's like a long conversation. The NBA is on top of all this stuff, and they know the ratings are a thing, but TV ratings are down all around, and our attention is diverted everywhere. I think it's that much worse of a product. It's just Twitter loves to complain, man.
Twitter's there for.
That also doesn't, just because the ratings are down doesn't mean that they're not consuming the league at a high.
That's the other thing. Yeah, exactly. I don't think people in 2024 understand ratings. Like, if you're looking at television, like you know what they do is they compare it to the NFL. That is a non-comparable entity. It is a 18, whatever it is, week season that is consumed in short order once a week. It is not the same as the NFL, as Major League Baseball, as the NHL, or any of that. It is a standalone entity that is unlike any other professional sports league. But when people see ratings, they compare it to that. Go, well, there's 100 million people watching this, and there's 10 million people watching this, or on a weekly basis, there's 18 million people watching this, and there's 2 million people watching it. Yeah, it's not the same thing.
Right.
Yeah, I think this is the whole left field convo, just about television consumption and the television business in general, and TV series are down, and all this stuff. And you're watching these in different ways. I watch some games, it feels like on Twitter, highlight by highlight sometimes. It's like, oh, okay, yeah. I'm following like that. People are on the move. People are going to go. It's there's a lot to it. But you look at that new TV deal, and now they have new TV partners, and like, business is booming. Don't worry. Yeah. Like, don't you worry. Yep. So that's the real number that matters. Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is fine. If the bottom line wasn't fine, then we'll start seeing some drastic changes. Don't you forget it.
I thought it. I had it in my notes. I don't think I do. I think it went from 2.6 billion to 6.9 billion annually. They're fine.
Yeah,
there's a reason there was a line out the door for potential partners, and enough bids high enough to beat out potential partners. By the way, long time, decades long partners. So the business is fine.
Merry Christmas, bro. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for being with us.
Go listen to that SZA out, man. When y'all get off work. Good tune.
Is this finally out?
Did it come out?
Came out. Real good.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Because I missed it. I looked for it at 9. I swear to God, I looked for it. I woke up this morning in the middle of the night, 2 a.m. Not there. Went to work out, 5 a.m. Not there. Like, all right. Says it. Did it drop at 9? Did they do the Kendrick bit where it dropped at 9 a.m.?
Came out at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon.
Oh, okay. Well, all right.
And I'll tell you, over here in my house, they went to the gym. They said, I'm going to go play this in the gym.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
It was a rush out the door. But yeah, go listen to that, man. Enjoy your holidays, fellas.
Yes,
I'll see y'all soon. Good seeing y'all always.
Yes, sir.
Always. Appreciate you, family.
That's our man, Eddie Gonzalez, right there. We'll come back. James Ham said the hell with us, so you know what that means.
Oh, yeah.
Vibes are up! Steelin' with KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. 916-909-1025 if you want to get into this conversation. I'm glad Eddie brought up that thing about the volume of threes. I'm not, like, really sure where all this conversation came from. I know the clip of LeBron James in Sacramento was circulating yesterday where he was talking about a ton of threes being shot. I was confused as to why Adam Silver addressed it. I didn't realize that this was a Twitter conversation that they were desperately trying to tie into, you know, the ratings conversation, man. That's just absolutely insane to me. What made it even more crazier is Adam's talking about, we're evaluating the game, the way the game is being played. And, you know, we hear all of the different complaints and, okay, so what are you going
to
do, bro?
Say goodbye to the corner three.
Like, what are we doing? Like, what are we going to go back to the pre-three-pointer? What are we going to do, limit threes per game? Like, what are you talking about? We're evaluating the way the game is played.
I don't know if people actually like basketball now. I don't get what the issue is at this point.
I don't know what it is.
What do you want? What do you want? What do you want?
You know what it is? People want what they can't have. It's like, okay, no, we need something else besides the three. Like, all right, dog. Like, so what do you want? You want more mid-range shots? Are you saying there's too many missed threes in the game? What do you want, more missed free throw line extended?
More Bill Laimbeers out there now.
And the fact that Adam addressed this is insane to me.
I feel like that just kind of... I feel like the fact that they acknowledge it shows that they kind of buy into it a bit, too.
Yeah, that shouldn't even have been a next question.
Yeah,
you know, we're not having that conversation, and we're fine. We just signed a $11 billion TV deal. We're fine. Hell, we might shoot more threes.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, next question. Yeah,
we need to teach Adam that art. We need to teach Adam the art of going, okay, dog.
Now, there.
Okay, Chris Haynes.
Get
it over Charlene's Beauty Supply, but I'm not talking about that.
There are some things that I think is a little bit of an issue in the NBA. Like, I think.
Yes, the Kings losing. That's the issue.
That's a big issue right now. Goodness gracious. Can we get it? Do you think we get. Don't flag me.
Whoa, you don't tell me how to ref my game, sir.
You think we get a beam for Christmas?
Yeah, okay.
Relax. What the hell is going on right now?
What else am I supposed to say?
What are we doing?
I don't know.
What else am I supposed to say?
What are we doing?
I don't, you know what? You're out of here. Friday, go ahead and take the weekend off.
It's like
now.
Your third personal foul.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. You don't throw a flag on this. I'm just going to punch the guy in the face right now.
Man, how else am I supposed to say it?
Are the Kings going to win?
Yeah.
No, that's
was
not
it that hard?
What are you
that's
talking about?
Same. Yeah.
Hey, you guys think the Kings are going to win before Christmas?
That don't have the same impact. That's boring.
Now you're talking about impact.
Yeah, now you're Antonio Brown taking your dumb uniform off running on the sideline right now.
Do you think, and look, I'll classify Detroit as Christmas.
Spectre, do they light the beam? You could have said that.
Well, do they light the beam for Christmas?
Do they what?
Do they light the beam for Christmas? Like, because the whole point is, do they win before Christmas?
That's how you could have phrased it.
Yeah.
Do they light the beam?
What did you say earlier this week? Do they win before Christmas? What did Jesse say?
Remember what I don't know.
Sports talk is boring.
Oh, yeah.
Well, don't get mad when the ref throws flags on you.
No. Because I told him, I'm about to travel.
That's not how it works, sir.
That's
not how it works. I think the Kings get a win this weekend? Yes, I do.
I do, too.
Why? I don't know, because I'm an idiot.
I think they split the two games. Asking to win both would be.
I actually think they lose to the Lakers again.
I could see it. Indiana won last night. Quiet as kept, they're starting to play better.
Well, maybe they beat the Lakers and lose to the Pacers.
Neither one wouldn't be good.
No, it absolutely wouldn't.
and not even
what
just
are
for
they
the
staring
standing.
At 1-4?
Well, no. Even for the standings, that's one thing. In your record, that's one thing. I don't want to lose to the Lakers or Tyrese.
Right.
Neither one is
here's
good.
Here's an interesting question. Who do you want to lose to least?
Oh. Tyrese.
This man wants his Lakers to pick up a victory.
You guys
rather lose Blake to Tyrese show. Than the Pacers?
Yeah, there's a chance. We haven't even hit rock bottom yet. It might be Tyrese Halliburton dropping 40 on the Kings. It's like, yeah.
Difference in that, though, is things would have leveled out the night before because you would have beaten the Lakers. Not leveled out. No one would have felt great. Rock bottom won't be losing on the second night of a back-to-back. Unless, of course, you lost on the first night of a back-to-back.
No, there's that.
Then rock bottom just gets a little bit more beneath the earth.
But look, y'all want to lose to Tyrese and the Pacers?
No, I want the Kings.
We've seen them lose to the Lakers. That happens from time to time.
Yes, but if they beat the Lakers, that has more impact than if they beat San Antonio. I mean, I'm sorry, if they beat Indiana.
If they lose to the Lakers, it's done.
You've lost three games against the Lakers, by the way, if that happens. I know it's tough for you to root against the Lakers, but you might just have to take the L.
Not that.
You wouldn't even take a fictitious L. Wow.
I mean, damn, why are you trying to lose Tyree? And what if Mr. Halliburton's there? You know he's going to be talking crazy.
Oh, Mr. Halliburton, and he's as he should.
But then Laker fans are going to be talking crazy.
Well, but if I was Mr. Halliburton, I wouldn't talk too crazy.
Cash Digital Media.
They have the same record as the Kings.
And they probably feel a lot different right now.
They sure do.
Rock bottom is Buddy Hield coming to the Golden 1 Center and lighting them up.
Well, I think they play Golden State.
Have we played the Warriors yet?
No, but they play them. I think the first game is on the 5th. It's on a Sunday. I was going to try and go to the game. It's in. It's not Golden 1, though.
Oh, yeah, Sacramento at Golden State. 5:30 on Sunday.
Maybe Buddy's traded by then.
First night of a back-to-back.
Oh, joy.
Miami the next night in Sacramento.
This is awful. By the way, we've talked a lot about De'Aaron Fox and, you know, is he the guy, possible trades, all this other stuff. I just want to take the time to say happy birthday, De'Aaron Fox.
This is your life.
I just want to say happy birthday. We love you.
This is the worst
happy
This
birthday,
Is Your Life
brother.
Episode ever.
Oh, man. Let's bring out De'Aaron's high school girlfriend. That is hilarious.
I saw someone in the chat say it, but I was like, we'll just leave that be.
I forgot. I saw that earlier this morning. I forgot it is his birthday.
Well, they said it like 96 times last night.
Mm. Yeah. Happy birthday, De'Aaron. I think, number one, everything that's going on today is part of it. I truly believe that nobody here wants De'Aaron to go anywhere, or we want it to work with De'Aaron Fox, but it's not working right now. So these questions and these topics come up. You know what I mean? That's just what it is. You know what I mean? And you've got to understand that. You just got to understand when you're 13 and 15. Everything is on the table. Like there isn't one thing that we've talked about De'Aaron Fox and whether he's the guy. We've talked about possibly trading. We've talked about Keegan Murray possibly being traded, DeMar DeRozan being traded, Mike Brown being fired, Monty McNair being fired. There has not been one thing that is off limits for talking today, and it's perfectly fair when a team is 13 and 15. If you don't like it, don't be 13 and 15.
Facts. Shout out to Marvin Bagley's boy. Facts.
What was that show called?
Earl was his name.
Earl. That's right. What
it was halfway decent?
Halfway decent. I think he did one episode, and that was it.
Yeah.
Halfway decent. How ironic.
They had the podcast starter pack where it's a black curtain behind you, black table, got the mics, and then a couple of ferns.
And he had the nerve to be bewildered why people were like, hey, bro, you shouldn't like that comment about getting Marvin out of sack or something. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why people were making a big deal out of this.
That was a fun time.
All right, man.
Earl, and then the girl who would go on Twitter.
Alexis.
Oh, Earl and Alexis. God damn it. Where are Earl and Alexis right now?
And one time, because, you know, I looked at Alexis and, you know, so she was like a designer or something as well. Young black lady, you know, in this industry. I felt it in my time, man. You know, if there's friction with my people, my Kings fan base and her or whatever, like mediate the waters one time. So, you know, I hit her up. I was like, hey, like, I just want you to understand why people are upset. Like, and I explained it. Can you understand why people are upset? Not saying it's right or wrong, but just understand. No, I don't understand at all. All right, man, I tried. I'm trying here. But you don't even want to look at both sides of the situation. So, all right.
This is a great point from Soren I forgot about. Marvin was like, it's my Twitter. I can like whatever I want to. It's my Twitter. All right, Marvin. He's right.
What times were worse? Today or those times?
At the AAU Kings or this time?
Oh, man.
That was awful.
We had dads fighting.